Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Level 9 Podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Jesse. Jesse, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, buddy. How you doing?
I'm not too bad. Yourself?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful.
That's good. You have a good start to 2022?
It's been a little chaotic so far, but it's been good. It's been good. How are things going on your end?
It's been good. Like you said, it's been chaotic. I mean, you know, this obviously we're still in the pandemic and more restrictions and things like that, and it's just been kind of like for gaming wise, for me personally, it's been kind of like a lull where I'm like, I want to play this, but I'm not in the mood to play it. I gotta play this. I'm not in the mood to play it. So I'm kind of just, you know, I don't really have a game on the go right now, so it's kind of weird. But that's how my start of 2022 is going so far.
That's interesting because it's pretty much the opposite for me, where I'm just completely absorbed with two video games right now that we'll sort of touch on shortly.
I'm excited to hear about one of them for sure. I know you can give me your thoughts throughout the week, but I haven't really talked to you in person since then, so it's gonna be interesting to hear.
Yeah, I've been kind of spamming you all week with my thoughts as I play.
I know you made me want to get back into it, so I'll keep doing that. Obviously, you know, this is our first episode for the new year, so the way that this episode is gonna go is we're gonna talk about E3. There's some breaking news on that. Then we're going to kind of get into our video game resolutions. So we're going to kind of make some resolutions that we're going to try and hopefully revisit at the end of the year, and hopefully we hit them all. And then we're going to kind of give some just predictions, what, like, probably a couple, you know, our predictions aren't going to mean like accurate. It's just kind of what we want to see or what we hope to see type things. And then a couple of games we're looking forward to for the end of the year too. So that's kind of on our agenda for today.
2022 is packed for video game releases. I just want to slide that in there.
I know, it's insane.
Unbelievable.
I'm going through the list right now and I'm like, I might just go broke.
Yeah, each month there's like, you know, at least 3 or 4 games that I'm looking at.
Yeah, exactly. At least two big hitters for sure, right? Each month, one I can see. So I don't think we've ever had a year like this, and that's partially due to the pandemic with all the games being pushed back. So that's, I don't know. I'm wonder if some of these games are going to get pushed back just because they don't want to be in the spotlight with another game. It's going to be curious to see.
Well, yeah, because I mean, just exactly like you said, some of these games you're just competing with everyone else, and it's just it takes a dent in sales too, just because you're competing with like God of War and Horizon and all the other titles. It's challenging. Exactly.
Yeah, it's gonna be wild to see how things work out. You mentioned that you're playing a couple games. What kind of games? What games are those?
Well, the past like month or two, I'd say I've been I finally finished Doom Eternal. I've had that on the back burner for quite some time, and I had a great time with that. I haven't started the DLC yet because I jumped into the battle mode 2.0 game mode that they have. It's the multiplayer version, which I've been incredibly hooked on for like every night essentially for a while now. And then recently you finally convinced me to pick up Guardians of the Galaxy. And honestly, it's so far, I just finished chapter 5 last night, I believe. And so far, it's one of my favorite games I've played in recent memory. I mean, I haven't had a single moment where I've been playing it or that I haven't enjoyed. So, I mean, if you haven't played it yet, get out there and give it a shot. And you need to start playing it again. I know, I think you've only finished the first chapter and kind of took a pause after that. But I'm going to recommend to you now that you play Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, hearing you talk about it over the week definitely made me want to jump back in. I'm kind of at that point where like I want to start a game, but like I haven't played a game in so long that like I feel like I have to restart everything from scratch and then I have to go through all that. But I know once I get into a game, I'll be hooked. So that's what I hope with Guardians of the Galaxy. I have to power through and hopefully get hooked. I have to restart it. I'm just from the first chapter I played for that game. Like, it's crazy how underrated it is, and I know it's probably just because the Avengers were made by the same company, and you know, we all know how the Avengers worked out.
Yeah, we were talking about that too, just how incredibly unsuccessful the Avengers was and how successful the Guardians is. I mean, I think it won a couple of awards for music or sound, which I completely agree with now. I think I picked Returnal for sound design, and I might have picked Doom for the other one. I think there were two music categories.
Yeah,
yes, but I mean, I would give them both to Guardians. It seems like every chapter.
Doom has some wicked songs too, but Guardians.
It does, Guardians, but I mean, it just seems like every chapter where I'll be playing it, and then you know it'll something will happen in a scene, and then they'll start playing a certain song, and it feels so right when you hear it. And I don't want to spoil anything for you, but it's the soundtrack is just unbelievable.
I know that when I first started the game, there was points where I just stood there and listened to the music.
That's exactly what I did too. In the ship, you can go to the radio and just cycle through all the songs. And I did that for, I mean, maybe 10 minutes the first time I was there.
I know, it's wild. And the fact that it's Disney and they got all these licensed songs just makes it 10 times better. So,
and references. That's what I talked to you about as well. That every, pretty much, I like to explore the environments. I spend a lot of time kind of walking around and look, and there are just so many little tiny real world references, like Star Wars to like TV shows to food. And it's just, it's strange to see, because normally in games you don't really see it. But I mean, like you said, Disney owns pretty much everything, so they can toss whatever they want into their game.
Exactly. And that's how you know, like with those little things, that's how you know when a company's put like some thought and care into the game, right? Just because they put the little things in there that don't necessarily need to be in there, but it just makes like the gamer appreciate it 10 times more.
Just adds a bit more realism too. So it's not like these generic brands that don't exist. They're actual brands that you yourself use and know.
Exactly. And I'm a big fan of Guardians of the Galaxy. I have to play that. And then Doom, I mean, I've always wanted to get into Doom, but it's just too fast paced and chaotic for me. I'm sure I'll get into it eventually, but
yeah. Last week the series ended, and I was, I think in the entire world I was ranked like 113th or something, and I was like, okay, maybe I need to take a step back, because I'm playing this too much.
What are you talking about? You gotta get into the top 100.
Yeah, I got cool little icon for it, which is pretty neat today. It's called a Demon Slayer or Demon Lord or something like that, and it's pretty cool. Yeah. Jeez. But yeah,
I'm gonna be calling you that from now on if I see you.
I definitely don't mind.
Demon Lord Jesse.
Have you been, I know you mentioned you haven't really been playing much, but I mean, is there any game that you've been kind of touching recently?
Yeah, there's a couple. Like when I've been playing games, just haven't really been like diving into one full steam ahead. It's like I play a little bit of this, play a little bit of that. But I kind of went back to the old school games. I bought a 360 for my buddy Jordan, and I've been going through The Godfather 2, the 360 game. I'm one achievement away from 100% in it, and I've been one achievement away from 100% in it for about 5 to 7 years now. So I just want to get that over with.
Is that the only reason you decided to jump back into it?
I wouldn't say the only reason. Like, I really enjoy the game. It's probably one of my top 10 games of all time. Wow. So it's a lot of fun. It's just one of those. I like mafia stuff, so it's kind of the same thing. You kind of run your own mafia family, get to recruit people in and battle other mafia families, take over businesses. So it's quite fun. I'm playing that, and then obviously by playing that, nostalgia hit me, and I want to go back and play the FIFA World Cup 2010 in South Africa, because I had a blast when I was playing that game back in my 360. So I've been going through that too, playing a little bit of that. It's like, you know, I enter a qualification as a country, and then I go through all the qualification rounds to get to the World Cup. So I've been slowly going to that's a game I can just, you know, play one game, hop off, and then like 2 days later hop another game without kind of worrying about how things are going. So that's why I'm enjoying that. Then my buddy and I are super addicted to this game on the PC called Crusader Kings 3. So I've been playing a lot of that. Like, I probably have, that's probably the game I've been playing the most. It's a lot of strategy games where you start off as a, you know, you can either start off as a king, or you start off as a lowborn in the medieval ages, and you kind of got to work your way up by, you know, marrying into families, create alliances, have kids, marry them off to create alliances and things like that. And then eventually you can become king of like the world if you do well enough. So it's kind of been a lot of fun. I'm a big fan of those games.
Wow. That's
So essentially, you know, obviously with us being a gaming, primarily gaming channel, games are huge. Obviously, E3 is the year we always look forward to again. But according to this article by Gabe Gerwin on GameSpot, E3 2022 will be online only again due to the pandemic. So E3 2022 is expected to be the first time since 2019 that the event was held in person, as the COVID-19 pandemic and its several variants since had made it unsafe for such a large gathering to take place over the past 2 years. Now that's not happening either, as the ESA has decided to shift E3 to an online format again this year. So I just want to get, you know, a couple of thoughts on that. Obviously, last year's E3 was all over the place. I was not a big fan of that last year's E3.
Yeah, it was a mess.
They had like there's a couple conferences that were good, like the Xbox conference and the Nintendo conference, and PlayStation would have been wicked if they went there, but also they go on kind of do their own thing. But then they had them weird ones like Gearbox and Koch Media. Like, those ones sucked. Well, what was the point of having those? We didn't hear about any games or anything like that. So if they're going to continue doing this online format, I think they should, you know, continue the way they were doing it with their old school, like with the in-person, where, you know, Wednesdays are Nintendo, you know, Tuesdays are Xbox, and then, you know, Ubisoft and Square Enix can be on the same day because they're not too big. I just keep it like that. Don't add like random companies in there that no one really cares about.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I would prefer if it was just like the bigger developers just sort of showcasing whatever they're working on and whoever they're working on with, rather than having all these little kind of developers doing their own thing, which is cool for them because they get to showcase their own thing. But I mean, E3, the past, I think you said since 2019, it's just been sort of, I don't think it's been in person since, right?
Yeah, 2019 was the last one.
Yeah. So, I mean, and with everyone, I mean, I think who dropped out? I think it was EA dropped out, right?
EA kind of dropped out. Thing.
Yeah. Sony dropped out. A couple others dropped out. So, I mean, it doesn't really seem like E3 has a very optimistic future right now, but I mean, who knows? I'm looking forward to seeing what's announced as usual. I mean, we're going to see a lot of cool new games and, you know, stuff added to games we love now, but I mean, it doesn't really look like E3 is what it used to be when it used to seem like this massive video game event, almost like the biggest event of the year, but now it just doesn't really seem like what it used to
be. Yeah, now it's more just like, oh yeah, it's, like I wouldn't really call it E3 at this point. It's like, oh yeah, Xbox has their conference today online. You just kind of tune in. Where, you know, E3, obviously we never went there in person, but it was just cool to kind of see the atmosphere of the arena and hear, you know, hearing people like freak out when a big game announcement was made and things like that. But now that's all online, you can't see that. Like, you know what I mean? Like I can tune in when I like 2 p.m. and watch the Xbox conference and just stream it online and I'll have nobody around me. Whereas you turn into E3, you see all these, like, you know, Keanu Reeves coming out, all these celebrities. Now it just seems like it's kind of lackadaisy.
I'm just thinking of my favorite like E3 moments. I think God of War was announced there from 2016, and that was it was either E3 or the Game Awards, but I just remember the audience just gasping when they finally realized it. Same with The Last of Us 2 when that was finally announced. I remember how fired up I was for that, and just the audience atmosphere.
Right, the audience atmosphere adds so much more to it. Like, I know we've personally never been there, but even just watching it, like you said, like when God of War was announced, you can like hear the excitement of the crowd, which gets you fired up watching it. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, like the Keanu Reeves moment when he's like, "You're beautiful," like that fired me right up.
You know, you're breathtaking.
You're breathtaking. Same thing.
But yeah, I really hope that fans make a comeback at E3, and maybe 2023 if all goes well for us. But at this time, it doesn't really look like we're going to be getting fans anytime soon.
Yeah, I think the issue with E3 is that, and as much as I love Jeff Keighley, he has his own little thing with Summer Games Fest, which is like a month later after E3, and so it's like, they kind of directly competing. So like Jeff Keighley tries to steal away people from E3, E3 tries to take away people from him. Like, just combine and come together and make one big summer event.
I know it's a miles smaller compared to E3, but we had fans at the Game Awards, did we not?
We did. So, yeah.
I'm wondering why they decided just to shut down everybody and you know, not have some form of audience participation. Like I said, I know E3 is a massive event and it's usually like a week or so long, but I mean, it would have been cool to see, you know, some version of fans there.
Yeah, I think at the time of Game Awards was around that Omicron surge variant or whatever wasn't as prevalent. Now that it is, everybody's kind of taking precautions again. But
yeah,
I mean, like June's quite a bit of way out, so I think it's a bit early to be calling, you know, fans, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's like sure it's prevalent, but it's also, anyways, I'm not gonna get into the pandemic stuff, but but like, I don't know. I agree. I think you know, either, you know, wait, like push E3 back to August if you have to and just have fans.
Hopefully we'll get there again one day.
Hopefully one day, but on a better and brighter news. Okay, so we'll do some resolutions. If you want to give like 2 or 3 resolutions, just quick ones, and then we'll go from there. So you give one, then I'll give one, and then we'll go back and forth.
So I was thinking about some gaming resolutions this morning, actually, and what popped out immediately was just finishing more video games, because I have so many games where I'm you know, a quarter of the way in, a halfway, even deeper in, and then I just haven't finished it. Like Ghost of Tsushima, I haven't completed the main story. I'm more than halfway through, I know that. But then the Legends DLC came out and I sort of hopped into that and then got distracted. Same with Doom Eternal. I finally just finished that. So I'm starting 22, already accomplishing a couple of my resolutions, but just finishing more video games and not, you know, starting one and then and passing it off to another one. I think that's a big one for me. How about you?
My probably the biggest one is I kind of want to start like get into a new genre. Like I play a lot of similar games. So I want to, you know, get into a new, probably not horror, not yet, not ready for that, but you know, something like maybe more like indie games or more platformers or more like beat 'em ups or fighting games. It's just like I don't know, a different genre than what I normally play, which is normally like RPGs or sports games or strategy games. Like, those are the most of the three games I play. I kind of want to branch out and try other genres or JRPGs. Like, you know, that's kind of my biggest thing, is just try a bunch of different games this year.
Well, speaking of fighting games, one of my most anticipated games of this year is Sifu, coming out next month on the PlayStation 4, 5, and PC.
I'll be getting that one for sure. I'll be definitely paying attention. That one looks sick. We'll get back into that more in a couple of minutes. Do you have another resolution? Or
probably not to buy video games when they're new. I read an article, and it was sort of talking about someone's opinion, obviously, that maybe games should be more cheaper when they release, like $30 or $40, and then like a year or so, once they have all the DLC combined and there's a complete edition with all the bug fixes and all that, that's when they should raise the price to $79 or $89, whatever, you know, you pay where you live. Just because, I mean, by the time a game's been out for a year or two, it's completely different. It's usually 100 times better, and it has, you know, much more content than it did at launch.
You know what would be really helpful with that? I'm not gonna talk about Xbox. I know you don't like you're not gonna get one eventually, but PS Now, like, it's similar to Xbox Game Pass, where they have a bunch of games on digital, and you can just try them out. If you don't like them, then you don't like them. If you like it, you just go and buy it.
I have had that for, oh gosh, most of 2021. I think I was subscribed to it. Right. And I think I've only played a handful of games on it. Like, I've tried a lot of games, enough. Like Hotline Miami 2, I just downloaded. And then Little Nightmares I downloaded, just trying different things. But I mean, that part of PS Now and Game Pass is fantastic. Just downloading random things to try, and, you know, chances are one of them will.
One of them hits or one of them don't. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, that's very beneficial. But I mean, PS Now just doesn't really have. I know Grand Theft Auto 3 was on there last month.
It's true. Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. But it just seems more.
That's fair. And it sounds like they will be adding a lot more in 2022. So pay attention to PS Now. It'd be interesting for sure. I do agree with your statement on, you know, releasing games to be cheaper, and then as time goes on, you know, like, even just like patches, like, maybe, like, if they really want to, like, a year or two, make the games more expensive, or, you know, even releasing demos now. Like, I wish games released more demos, you know, like,
I miss demos, man.
Even like a 3-hour demo, just so you can get the hang of the game, because there's a lot of times where I go and buy a game full price and I don't even like the gameplay. I like the concept, but I hate the gameplay. So, like, if they can just really release a demo, like, for 3 hours, and you kind of, like, you know, kind of, like, you got the feel of the game, might convince more people to buy your game, might convince people not to buy your game, but at least, I don't know. I know it's probably a lot more work, but I think I demos are definitely the way to go.
Yeah, on the PlayStation 3, I had a folder just for demos, because I was consistently downloading them just to try them out. I mean, some of them would be, like, a chapter, or some of them would be timed demos, but it just gave you a chance to, gives you a feel of what that game's going to be.
Right, and that I guess EA Play kind of does that. Like, they give you a 10-hour free trial of all the new games, which is why I was able to try Battlefield for 10 hours for free and kind of give that
a shot. That's a fantastic idea. More developers, I think, need to do that.
Right, like, just release, like, even if, like, just release your game, 10 hours free trial. I can play however long I want, whenever I want. Once my timer on 10 hours are up, if I want to buy the game, I can go buy the game.
So you're either going to get one more sale with that person, or that person is going to pass on the game and you're back to square one. So, I mean, I don't really see a negative with doing that.
Right, exactly. And like if I would go buy Battlefield without trying it, I probably wouldn't have given it a 5-star. I probably would have given it like a 2-star. You know what I mean? But if I tried it, I probably wouldn't have bought it, and then I wouldn't have given it a review. I didn't spend any money on it. So that would kind of help with the scores as well.
Yeah, Battlefield is a great, circling back to what I said, that I paid, I think it was $89 for it on the PS5, and I've played it for, I think I'm like level, I don't know, maybe I'm not even 20, I don't think, just because it's just not there yet. But I mean, in a year or so, of course, it's going to be much better. Right. And that's when I would have rather, you know, spent $30 for it just to have it, and then, you know, just kind of mess around with it. But
I also think developers need to be less afraid of delaying games. Like, sure, everybody hates when you see a delayed game, but look at Halo. They delayed their game for a year, and look at it. Like, look at the reception it's gotten.
Yeah, I think CD Projekt Red sort of scarred everybody with delaying games and that sort of thing. But I mean, I don't see an issue, and I'd much rather a delay than releasing a game that's half finished.
Yeah, and I know delaying game ruins the hype. Like, sometimes, you know, you're like, oh my god, I'm so excited for this, not gonna wait another year, and you kind of excited about it and you kind of forget about it. But like, I don't know,
Dying Light 2,
exactly, but that's an example. But I don't know. I feel like if you delay a game, like I'll probably be a little upset that it's delayed because I look forward to playing it, but I won't be upset. I'm like, you know what? They realize the game's not made. I'll be patient.
Yeah, I'd much rather wait, 6 months or even a year, but to have a finished game rather than, you know, buying it and then having like a day one patch and then a month we have more patches and you're pretty much having to wait to play the full game regardless.
Exactly. And just before we move on to our most anticipated games or games that we're looking forward to, I'm going to just say my last resolution. And that's honestly to play more of every console. Like I have an Xbox. Xbox is my main console. I have a PlayStation 5. I play the exclusives on there. Every now and then I play multiplayer games. I have a Switch. I have a PC. But I want to be able to play more of each of them. Like I play my Xbox a lot more than my PlayStation, but I want to be able to jump on my PlayStation and, you know, go through like a couple story games on that and beat the exclusives. Like I have so many PlayStation exclusives lined up. That's the only reason why I have a PlayStation, to play the exclusives. Same with Nintendo. Like but to be fair with Nintendo, like the only games I play with Nintendo are Pokemon and Mario games, so, and Zelda games. So once more of those come out, in January, which I'm really looking forward to. I'll probably play more there. My PC, I'm starting to get back into PC gaming, so that's good. I need to build up my PC more to play the more powerful games. On top of that, I really want to get a VR headset. Maybe not a PlayStation VR, because there's limited games, like an Oculus Quest 2 or something like that. Then play. I know a lot of my friends got them for Christmas, and that's all they've been playing. So that's probably my biggest resolution, is to get a VR headset and kind of dive into that world a bit more.
That Horizon VR game that you showed me, I think it was earlier this week, looks fantastic.
I know. I'm excited for that. The only issue I have with the PSVR 2 is that it's still wired, and it drives me nuts that it's still wired. But the Oculus Quest 2 is wireless. I just don't understand how it's still wired nowadays. That's why I didn't use my PSVR a lot, because I kept tripping over the wires because I couldn't see where the heck I was going. So the fact that it's still wired drives me up the wall, but I'll be getting it.
It sounds like they're focusing more on like the controllers and video games too. I mean, the controllers look fantastic, and then the games we've seen so far look much better than what the first VR had. So who knows?
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree, and I think it's gonna be great. Like they've narrowed it down to one wire instead of like six or seven, so that's a huge step forward. But it still baffles me that's probably gonna still be like $500 when I can go out and grab a wireless headset for $250 and play like Half-Life Alyx on it. You know what I mean? It's a little pricey. They need to work on that, but I'm sure I'll still pick it up. I like PSVR.
I've never tried it, but I want to give it a shot one day.
Yeah, there actually is quite a bit of games. Like, if anybody has PSVR that's listening to us, I definitely recommend Astrobot. I know you play Astrobot on the PS5, but the VR version is 10 times better. It's insane. It's ridiculous. Like, it's so good. So, or Moss. Moss is probably a top tier as well. Blood and Truth. Yeah, there's quite a bit of games you can play on the VR that are really, really good. They stepped it up definitely stepped it up. PlayStation especially, but I know like Oculus and HTC Vive, like there's like full-blown AAA games that you can play that have like the quality of like Horizon or God of War on VR now.
Did you ever play that first person mode in, I think it was like ESPN NFL 2K?
I did. Yeah.
That was fantastic, wasn't it?
It was wicked. I loved it.
That's what I want, a Madden for the VR.
Actually, something that was really cool with not the PSVR, I had a Google VR headset. I got a Google Daydream, which when I had my Google phone. And one of the cool things they did is they had an NFL games. You could pay like $5 or I think it was $5 or $10, and you sit courtside in the VR, but you have your VR headset and you watch the game happening courtside, but you got to pay like $10 to do it.
Like a real game?
Yeah. So like the Patriots versus the Bills or whatever, like you could do that and watch it courtside and watch field side and watch the game. Obviously you only have a certain limit because with the camera that moves, but you can just sit there and watch it like you're actually there. It was really cool.
Oh, I would get that just for that feature alone. That would be incredible. I'd much rather watch games like that.
Right. And every game you want to watch, you had to pay a certain amount, but it's like, whatever. Like, it's cheaper That's than going fine. To an actual game. So,
yeah, and warmer too.
Yeah, it was really cool. Obviously, this is way back when they first started technology, so it wasn't fantastic, but I wonder how it's now. Like, that's probably like 4 or 5 years ago. So, I wonder how it is now.
I went to the Super Bowl and they were very much heavily marketing like features with like phones and interactive and just things you could do at the stadium during games. They were very focused on that. So,
yeah, no, I know. And I know that now the Oculus or Meta, they call it from Facebook, they have gloves that they're making too, where it's like Ready Player One, where you actually feel stuff in the real world with that as well. So
we're getting too deep into the territory.
The metaverse is going to happen eventually one day.
Japan just made a screen that you can taste. You can lick it or taste it or something, which is just horrifying.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know if you've seen it on Twitter, but there was it was Meta, so Facebook again. It's where the name's Meta. But anyways, they showed off how you do grocery shopping in the metaverse. So essentially, this person was in Walmart, and they had a Walmart employee wearing a VR headset as well. And then you could see them in the top right. And if you had any questions, you could talk to them and be like, where can I buy this in the VR aisle? And then when you put the VR, it's like, they grabbed a bottle of wine, for example, and they put it in and they like teleport into their cart and they check out using their VR money. And then and then Walmart shipped it to their house.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to live in this world that we're we're going towards.
It's literally Ready Player One.
This is Black Mirror territory, man.
Mark Zuckerberg was like, if you die in the metaverse, you die in real life. I don't know how I feel about that, but I don't know about that. But anyways, I really want to get back into VR because it looks like they're stepping up, and I really want to try the new new stuff again. When restrictions and stuff die down, I'll have to take you to the VR hut.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That would be fantastic for you.
Yeah, I'll have to take you there for sure. All right. Now that we're done our New Year resolutions, let's get into some of the games we're looking forward to. So we have a list here from Game Informer. We'll probably just go month to month and see which game stands out. If we don't see any game to stand out, just say there's really nothing here. But we'll start the month of January, which already has a bunch of games coming out. So is there anything that stands out to you?
I'm just trying to dictate which I'd rather. I see God of War coming out for the PC, which is fantastic. We've seen a lot of Sony Studios games coming out on the PC, and it's been doing very well. I'm hoping that will lead to a Days Gone 2. But I also see the Uncharted Legacy of Thieves collection, which...
Oh, let's go.
I think it's... is it just the fourth one and then the DLC, I'm not mistaken?
It's the fourth one. I think it's Lost Legacy as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. So, I mean, that's pretty cool, especially if you haven't played those two. I might jump back into it just because I haven't played the Lost Legacy yet. So maybe that'll give me a chance. And then we have Rainbow Six Extraction, which it's technically a sequel, but I think it's only like $49. So I'm not entirely sure what it is. But I mean, if you're...
Rainbow Six Extraction, it's like it's a 4v4. It's not a 4v4, but it's like me, you, and two other people would be on a team. And it's like Call of Duty Zombies.
Oh, okay. So that's a little...
But it's in the Rainbow Six world, and you have like different classes and things like that.
Oh, so that could be pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's coming to Game Pass. So I'll try it out and let you know and see if it's worth buying. If it's worth buying and you don't pay it, I'll play it. I'll get it on PlayStation. You can try it. You can play it together.
Anything on this list that is jumping out to you for this month?
Yeah, there's two. Obviously, Rainbow Six Extraction was one of them. I wasn't really interested in it, but now that it's coming to Game Pass, I'm definitely going to give it a shot. And if I really like it, I'll buy it. But obviously the big one for me is Pokemon Legends Arceus. That's the open world Pokemon game. It's like this Breath of the Wild, but Pokemon. Like, I cannot wait for this game. The more and more they release about it, they just released a 6-minute trailer the other day, and it looks way better than when they first announced it. So I'm super stoked about this, and that's probably where most of my hours will be going into gaming this one.
What are your realistic expectations with Pokemon Legends?
Honestly, I know it's a Pokemon game, so I'm not expecting it to like blow me out of the water and get like 10 out of 10s and be game of the year. There's no way I'm expecting that in any way of sort. It might be my personal game of the year, but I'm not expecting it to win any awards because it is a Pokemon game. The fact that it's Pokemon just gets me excited. I am a little skeptical on it because it's not a general Pokemon game. So there's no gyms. Essentially you start way back. You're the first Pokemon trainer per se. And the whole mission is you're kind of discovering you're the first, like creating the first Pokedex. So it's more about exploration and catching Pokemon than anything. Obviously there's a story behind it. And there's Pokemon battles, but there's not gyms per se. It's more like you're battling like boss Pokemon. So I'm very curious to see how that worked, but it's definitely a step in the right direction for Pokemon. So my expectations are tampered. I'm going to enjoy it regardless because it's Pokemon, but I'm not expecting it to get anything. Like if it gets a 7 out of 10, I'll be like, yeah, that's fair. Gets a 5 out of 10, I'm like, that's fair. You know what I mean? So I'm not like going in there and being like, man, this game's going to be... I mean, it will be revolutionary for Pokemon, but I don't think it'd be revolutionary in any other kind of way.
Yeah, we have a lot releasing this month, and then in February, we have almost double of what's releasing in January.
Much for me. There's so many games on this list that I have to scroll through, but there's...
Yeah, I'll just list off a couple. Life is Strange, the remastered collection. We've got Dying Light 2 finally coming out. Sifu, we've got, I mean, Dynasty Warriors 9. We've got Horizon Forbidden West, Destiny 2 DLC. We've got Elden Ring coming out.
We got Crossfire X, which has been a highly looked forward Xbox exclusive as well.
February is just packed.
If you could pick two from this list, what would be the top two that you'd be playing?
If you had asked me a year ago, Dying Light 2, probably. Just because my buddy and I, during, well, I say the first lockdown, played through the first one, and it was one of my favorite cooperative gaming experiences I've ever had. And then, obviously, Horizon Forbidden West is coming out later in February, and I cannot wait to jump into that world again.
I mean, Horizon Forbidden West is definitely on the top of my list here. I have not played through Horizon yet, but I'm working on it. Just Horizon Forbidden West looks more like, the reason why I wasn't intrigued in as much as Horizon Zero Dawn, it's just like, obviously I haven't played through it, so I could be completely off on this, but like the winter kind of thing, like I don't really like those kind of games because it's more of a winter wasteland, you know what I mean?
Where that was more the DLC though, that wasn't really the main story, so if you don't want that, you don't really have to. That was more so just the expansion though.
Okay, fair enough. That kind of gets me a bit more excited, because that's why I was kind of like, ugh. Like,
why aren't you a fan of the winter levels? I personally love them.
Like, I like winter levels, and winter is my favorite month of the year, but it's just, I feel like a lot of games, the winter levels, it's like, a lot of winter levels feel empty. It's just snow and snow blizzards, and like, it doesn't look as nice or beautiful compared to Horizon Forbidden West, which is literally, like, looks like it's in Mexico. It was like, the water and the beaches, you know what I mean? But I definitely want to play Horizon Forbidden West, and I definitely need to finish Zero Dawn before I get into that. So that's probably going to be one of my priorities to get through is Horizon Zero Dawn, because that's probably number one on my list just because it looks fantastic. Crossfire X is also one I'm really looking forward to. It's like a Battlefield equivalent to Xbox, but it's a single-player game only, and the multiplayer is super popular in Japan, apparently. It's like one of the most popular first-person shooter games in Japan. But it's also, this one is a single player campaign, and it's made by Remedy Entertainment. So the guys that make Control and Alan Wake and all those guys, they're making the single player experience for Crossfire X. So that's why I'm super excited, because I love their games.
Oh yeah, that could be very good.
Yeah, so those are probably the two out of this list. So obviously there's a bunch, Dying Light, I'll probably try and dive into. Life is Strange, I love Life is Strange. Elden Ring, I mean, people are fired up for Elden Ring, but not my kind of game.
Just one most anticipated game, didn't it, at the Game Awards?
Yep, second year in a row.
Yeah.
Obviously, Sifu. We mentioned Sifu, which, I mean, I'll be honest, I wasn't really looking forward to it back when it was first announced. I was like, whatever. Yeah, but now that more I see about it, I'm like, I need to play this game. This game looks fantastic. I think you'll see Sifu probably be nominated Game of the Year, Game Award for, like, most innovative or something like that, just because every time you die, you get older. So that's a cool concept, but yeah. So month of February, that's kind of what I am looking forward to.
And then
we'll get into March.
We still have a few releases in March, and then beyond that, there's not really a whole lot. So after March, we can just touch on, like, if you scroll to the bottom of the list, it's all the to be announced, which is very long.
I mean, there's a couple games that I want to play in, like, April and May, but I'll add those in. I'll add those all in.
Okay.
So in March, we have, you know, I've seen a couple. We have Babylon's Fall, PlayStation 5, PS4, PC, Gran Turismo 7, which I know a lot of PlayStation fans are looking forward to.
Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, the Borderlands spin-off, which I can't wait to jump into.
You also have Tunic for Xbox, which, I mean, I love that game when I played the demo. Fantastic. You have Triangle Strategy, which is another one I'm really looking forward to. There's a lot of games in March.
Mm-hmm.
But probably my biggest one of this one would probably be Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. I'm kind of iffy on the Borderlands. Like, I've definitely really gone through them, but this one kind of intrigues me just because it's more fantasy and more medieval, which I'm more of a sucker for.
Yeah, Borderlands 2, I just loved. And one of the DLCs remains my favorite DLC of any game I've played. It's Tiny Tina, and it's pretty much just a board game that she and all of the Borderlands characters are playing, and that you, the character, are playing. Like, as the character that they're playing as. So you're going through this map that they're just sort of, like, conjuring up different characters and areas, and it's just so fun. And
that's kind of a blast.
Yeah, and like I said, it's my favorite DLC I think I've ever had, so.
Nice, that's exciting.
It just seems like this is sort of a spinoff of that DLC, which, I mean, I'm completely invested in, especially with Borderlands 3 not being what a lot of Borderlands fans wanted.
Man, there's a lot of games I actually really want to play, like Triangle Strategy. Like, that's like an Octopath Traveler type game, which is one of my favorites on the Switch. Again, if the Switch had achievements or trophies, I'd be more inclined to play more games. So, but Tiny Tina's Wonderlands looks fantastic.
I'm just going to fast forward to Skyrim's original release date, November 11th. We have something pretty spectacular releasing.
We have Starfield releasing, which, I mean, I'm already all in because Mass Effect is my favorite game of all time, if everybody knows. And this is literally like Skyrim. I love the Skyrim open world and the Fallout open worlds, and it's literally that in space. So, I mean, I personally can't see how they can go wrong, but I know a lot of people are still skeptical on it, just because it's a whole new IP from Bethesda. We know how buggy Bethesda games are.
Yeah, I'm sure at launch it'll be incredibly buggy. I'm hoping it's not as game bad breaking. As Cyberpunk. Yeah, where it's just... But, I mean, I can't imagine... It's really hard to say what's going to happen. It's either going to be very... It's either going to be going to go very well or very not well, I think.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'm personally super stoked for it. Whether it hits or not, we'll see. But I'm super stoked for it. I want to go back up to April real quick, just because there is Stalker 2, which honestly, as much as it is a horror game, I really want to try. It looks fantastic. It's probably the first Xbox game that looks like a next gen game, in my opinion. Sorry, Halo. but like this game looks beautiful, and it kind of has those like nuclear Chernobyl vibes, which I'm more into than scary ghosts. So we'll see how this works out, but that's the one game I'm looking forward to as well. Now, if we go down to To Be Announced, there's a lot
which has me a little concerned, because usually To Be Announced means it's probably going to get pushed back.
Yeah,
but we'll see.
There's already a couple that are sticking out to me. I'll name a couple. For one, we have Advance Wars 1+2 Reboot Camp. I'll be playing that. We have Avatar: Frontiers of Pandora, which I'm really intrigued on how that's going to work. The Avatar game that Ubisoft announced, it's an open world Avatar game, so that's gonna be intriguing. Bayonetta 3, which Bayonetta's not really my style of game, but I know a lot of people are stoked for it. Bright Memory Infinite, if a lot of people remember that's the first game that Xbox and PlayStation, well, remember when Xbox says it first look at the next gen games and it wasn't really and people were all mad? That was the first game that people showed that they showed, so it looks cool, it looks fun. But that's just why it sticks out, because I know it is the first kind of one on that thing. You have Cyberpunk 2077 for next gen, so that hopefully that hits.
We've got the Ultimate Fishing Simulator 2 coming out on PC.
That's the game of the year.
I think that's tough. I think The Witcher 3, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series X updates are probably one or two on my list. I'd say God of War, Ragnarok. I'm just looking through the list and I'm seeing more. I'd say God of War Ragnarok is number one for me. And then Witcher 2 is probably number two. We have the Callisto Protocol as well.
You gotta let me know how that is. I'm not touching that game, but you gotta let me know how
I'll be breaking my resolution for that and getting that day one. Prince of Persia, the Sands of Time remake. I completely forgot about that as well.
That's true. Fall Guys is hopefully finally coming to Xbox. I know all my friends on Xbox really want to play it.
Is it not on Xbox?
It's not. It's still on PlayStation and PC.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, and Switch too. That's good. Oh, that would probably be fun on the Switch.
Right? You got the Hogwarts Legacy, which is the open world Harry Potter game, which I'm on a huge Harry Potter kick right now, and I cannot wait for this game. It's probably one of my most anticipated games of the year, to be honest.
We also have I Am Jesus Christ coming to the PC. I'm not sure if you see that.
Oh, boy. I don't know how I feel about that game. That's really weird. I did not see that. That's funny. Obviously, we got Redfall. We got touch base on Redfall, which is Bethesda's at exclusive game that's coming launching in the summertime, it's a vampire one that showed at E3. Do you remember that?
Oh, it's sort of like Left 4 Dead, kind of.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing what it is. It looks like a Left 4 Dead, but they say it's more of an open world experience. So we'll see how what happens. But
that was pretty good.
Arcane's making it, the people that made Dishonored. So
I do love Dishonored. Deathloop, I'm not a fan of, so we'll have to.
Well, yeah, so we'll see there. Scorn for Xbox. I know that was one of the first games that they released. Kept getting pushed back. It's like more of a horror game, so that might be... Skull and Bones, finally.
Yeah, there's just so much coming out this year. It might not even come
for PlayStation 5 or Xbox Series X. Come for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. I might have to pass on that.
Oh, yeah, that's... Come on, it's 2022.
I know.
Ooh, Death Stranding on the PC.
Suicide Squad, that one looks kind of good.
Gotham Knights?
Yeah, Gotham Knights looks good.
My goodness.
Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild sequel.
Wow. A Quiet Place. There's a Quiet Place video game coming in?
There is, yeah.
That could be good. A Plague Tale Requiem, which we just saw at the Game Awards.
That game is beautiful. I know. I really wanted to play the first one, but you told me it wasn't that scary. You told me it's more just like stealthy and sneaking around. And spooky.
Well, to be honest, I've only played it for like an hour or two.
Fair enough.
Don't take my word for it.
Fair enough. All right.
All right. So out of these, what are you looking forward to? The Lord of the Rings Gollum finally coming out? Sorry, I just said that. What are you looking forward to the most if you could pick one game to buy in 2022?
And out of this, to be announced list? Or
out of the entire list from January to the TBA to be announced. You pick one game to play and to buy.
It's between three games right now. It's between Pokemon Legends Arceus, Hogwarts Legacy, and Starfield.
Hogwarts Legacy, really?
Yeah, like I said, I've been on a huge Harry Potter kick. And I'm really, really looking forward to seeing what they do with that. And I've kind of been looking for, like, you know, a Hogwarts RPG where I can kind of create my own character, kind of get in my own house and kind of live the Harry Potter lifestyle. So I'm kind of curious to see how that's going. I might not be excited for it, you know, like 2-3 months down the line when my Harry Potter kick's kind of out, but as of right now, that's where I'm at. But it's tough because Starfield's coming to Game Pass, so I don't need to buy it. So I guess I can say Harry Potter Legacy or Hogwarts Legacy or Pokemon, because I need to purchase those. I don't know, there's a whole bunch of games here that I could probably see myself playing, but I have to get through half. I think I threw half my PlayStation list too. I haven't played God of War yet. I haven't played Horizon. I have to get through all those. I haven't finished Halo campaign yet. I have all these games I need to play.
I'd say play God of War, because I mean, you're not going to finish Horizon before next month if you're planning on getting Forbidden West in February.
Yeah,
I think it took me like 40 or 50 years to
years
or sorry
holy
hours
old.
hours and then God of War, I mean, depending on how you play it, could be like maybe 12-15 hours.
Yeah, I think if I play God of War, I probably wouldn't try to like 100% or anything. I'd probably just play it just to beat it, so I at least know the story. That's probably how I'd go about. We'll see. I have to be in the mood. Like I said, I have to start a game and just dedicate myself to playing the game for a little bit so I can get hooked on it. Then once I'm hooked, then I'll beat it. But it's the fact of getting in there and, you know, starting up and holding a new game, and the start of games nowadays are super slow, so it's rough getting through those.
That's why I love Guardians of the Galaxy, because I mean, as soon as you start it, you're right into it.
Yeah, I agree. No, that's why it really caught my eye there for sure.
Open Roads is also coming out this year, which I'm not sure if you remember, but it's that indie game, and it's the trailer where I think it's the mom and the daughter in the cars driving along the road.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
That
reminds me of like Life is Strange.
Mm-hmm. And then I just saw a Pokemon trading card game live.
I did see that. I'm intrigued. I feel like that'll probably be a lot of pay to win, though. So that's what I'm kind of Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild sequel. Whether that
does it have a name yet, or is it just Breath of the Wild sequel?
Breath of the Wild sequel, which still scares me. I think it's going to be more of 2023, and I feel like they have to launch the new Switch, whenever that is with it. Like, I don't think they can launch on the Switch.
But I think if they released together in 23, that would be big.
All I want for Nintendo is just come out with some sort of achievements or trophy. Like, honestly, I'd play a lot more games if that was the case.
Three trophies away from platinuming Doom Eternal. I think Jordan would be proud.
Oh, he would be proud. Yeah. What are the three trophies?
Kill a demon with all eight of the Slayer's weapons, which is the human player. I have 7 of 8, so I have one more weapon. Nice. And then it's kill 300 enemies. I'm like midway through that, and then finish extra life mode with 10 lives, which is just playing through the campaign on extra life mode, and it's just banking extra lives. So it's kind of like old school Doom, where you have a certain amount of lives, and then if you get down to zero, then you have to start the game over.
Right, that sounds fun, actually.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I'm saving that until I'm done with all the multiplayer stuff, and then I can jump back into Doom Eternal.
I really want to get into Doom. Like, I like Doom when I was younger. That's like the only game I really played. And like these new ones look fantastic.
Yeah, it's they're very addicting. I'll say that.
It's because it's so fast paced. The music is just spot on.
And once you like get the upgrades and you get the perks for the weapons and all that, you just feel like a unstoppable demon
badass.
Yeah, and it's fantastic.
that's good. I'm glad Doom's getting the spotlight it deserves. It's a really good game.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait for the next one. I'm holding off on buying that DLC just because I don't want to get sucked back into it.
The only issue with the next one is it'll probably be an Xbox exclusive. Just saying.
I'll probably get some form of. I'll be getting the next Doom. So if it's only on Xbox, same with Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, I feel like you'll be safe for Elder Scrolls for a while.
Yeah, probably like 2029 maybe.
Yeah, so you got a while to save up for the Xbox.
Yeah.
It'll be the Xbox Series XSSS. I'm looking forward to 2022 and 2023 when we see a lot more games coming out that I really want to see what PlayStation has up their sleeves for the new IPs. Like, I really like PlayStation just gets very creative with their IPs, where so far Xbox, like, they're creative, but they're not as creative as PlayStation. Like, PlayStation goes all the way out, and I'm really curious to see what they have in games, and I'm really looking forward to some of them.
They must have something, because I'm not sure if you saw the article that Bend Studios, when they suggested Days Gone 2 and got turned down, that they recommended a Resistance open world game.
Ooh.
Which is the trilogy from the PlayStation 3, which was an incredible game at the time. I think the first one was Game of the Year, actually, and I would love a Resistance game to come back. I think we talked about it last season. Because we tweeted about it a couple times too, about some games we wish we would come back. And yeah, I'm not sure, turning down Days Gone 2 and a Resistance reboot or open world game, they must have a lot of things planned where they're saying no to stuff like that.
Yeah, I think they still have 25 unannounced titles, PlayStation or something like that. So that's why I'm super curious, because they have some of their games are so far out that I'm like, man, this is sick. Like that cat game, that stray game, I'm like,
that's coming out this year.
It's so far-fetched and so out of place. I'm like, I really want to try this, but this looks good.
I mean, the second you announce a game where you play as a cat, I'm buying it. I don't care anything else.
Yeah, have you tried that game with the other cat, Unpacking or whatever?
I haven't yet. It's only for Xbox, I believe, and PC.
You can on Game Pass on PC, I'm sure.
I don't think I'm emotionally stable enough to play that, but once I am, I'm going to, because I've read that it's a sad game.
That's fair. That's why I haven't played it. I don't really like sad games too much. I always play games to get away from my sadness.
You have to be in the right mood. Like, sometimes, what was that game? I think it's Emily Is Away, and it's a game where you pretty much just, I was on a little indie kick back when I lived in Belleville. It's a game where you're pretty much just chatting with friends on MSN back in like 06, and it's pretty much the entire game, and you're just creating these relationships with different people, and there's different endings and that sort of thing based on how you respond. And that was very sad. Actually. Yeah, there's a Emily's Away 1-2 with MSN, and then 3 is Facebook, so it kind of evolved a little bit.
I gotta look for that game.
They're pretty fun. I bought them very cheap. It was during a Steam sale. I just saw it, and it was like $1 or something. I was like, let's give it a shot, and I ended up playing through the entire thing in like 5 hours.
I love games where you can kind of choose your own story and kind of like move the story along in your own kind of way. Like any game that says that, I'll probably try it.
So. Yeah, it was definitely surprising. Same with Firewatch. That was when my little Steam kick was going on, and I played Firewatch, and I ended up staying up until like 4 in the morning just to finish it. And it's one of my favorite indie games of all time.
I've heard Firewatch is really good. It just recently came to Xbox Game Pass, and I'm like, oh, do I want to try this? Like, do I have emotionally stable enough to try this kind of game?
It's not like scary or anything, if that's what you're, it's just tense. I'll say that. It's tense.
I don't mind tense. I can handle tense. And like, as long as there's not a lot of jump scares, if there's one jump scare, I can probably handle it. But if there's like jump scare after jump scare after jump scare, then I'm like, nah, I can't do
that. There's not really jump scares from what I remember. It's just more sort of focusing on the dialogue between the characters and just trying to unsolve the mystery.
I might have to give it a shot. I know there's one that called Forgotten City right now that I really want to play. It's similar. It's like in medieval Rome, like ancient Rome, and you're kind of, someone gets murdered and you gotta figure out who murdered them, and it's literally all just like, it's like a Life is Strange. You just walk around and dialogue, and it's cool.
I love games like that where it's sort of up to you to figure stuff out rather than being a linear just
Those type of games are my type of games. All right, well, that should conclude our first episode of 2022. That's our next episode of the Level Line Podcast. Happy New Year, and till the next one.
Happy New Year, everybody.